Please remain standing if you are standing and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Now, I know on Slack it said the whole of 2 Corinthians. However, because of Mel and his working with me, we figured that out. I will not be reading all of 2 Corinthians. We will be only reading 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. So please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This is God's word. Please give it your full attention. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. You may be seated. Last week, we spoke about the crisis of the expert. Today, we don't know who to listen to. Experts say this, and experts say the exact opposite of this. And who are we to listen to? Well, obviously, as was said in that last sermon, we ought to listen to the expert who cannot be wrong, because he is truth itself, and because he knows all things. We trust God. However, the rebellious world cannot let themselves submit to anything but themselves. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, as we hear and know from Romans 1. The crisis of the expert really brought people to become more and more inward in their thinking today. What I mean is that people, rather than listening to God as they know they should, people have stopped listening to anyone but themselves, or at least this is how they would like to think about this. When someone uses the words, I am an X, so please use X pronouns, or etc., the problem is one of authority. The problem is not that they've stopped listening to authority, per se. The problem is that they place their ear upon their own chest and listen for the voice of God. Inevitably, the voice of God sounds like their own desires, and the voice of God sounds oddly like what the people they like tell them. Today, because of this problem, many Christians have stopped placing their ears upon their own hearts. Because of this horrible copy of self-examination in the world, they have stopped self-examining. Or they've gone the other direction, perhaps. They've self-examined themselves into the ground to where they no longer hear the voice of Christ anymore so much as their ear upon their own chest. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when I use those words self-examination, that is what our text speaks about this evening. It is a Christian duty that you and I have been doing all along if you are a Christian, although you may not have known it. May not have realized it yet. So let us go into our text. It is a small text, and certainly we could go into the context far more. And if you would like to, please come see me afterwards, but there's not much time in the evening service, so let's go into it. The first words that he uses in chapter 13, verse 5 is, examine yourselves. Examine what? He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. So we are to examine what? To examine if we are in the faith. Why? Because it's something that's very weighty and we can be deceived in. We should, as Matthew Henry says, put the question to our own souls. So weighty, so great are the consequences of this question, whether we are in the faith. And there are only two answers to this question. Either you are in the faith, where you are not in the faith. Notice that this question of self-examination is not one of degree. That is, it's not whether you are a good Christian or not, or a bad Christian or not, or if you're better than this or that person, or better than you were before. These are important questions sometimes, but Paul asks this question alone, and this duty alone is given. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. This is very significant. And how are we to do this? First, we ought to go to the law. This is the law of liberty, the law of life, the law which Christ would point us to and did indeed in his life on earth point us to. Not one jot or tittle is taken away from the law, but perfectly shows us the way of the Christian. Without the law, we can understand nothing of Scripture. There's a reason that David says, "Reveal wondrous things from your law. Your law is truth." That is because the law is the first place where the Christian goes to understand his status before God. It's the first place that the Christian goes. So how do we examine ourselves? Well, I will be giving you a three-step process that I think is very helpful for understanding what examination is. There are other things that are involved in this, but it is helpful to see it through these three steps. So how do we examine ourselves? First, we examine ourselves in the law, just as was said, which reveals our guilt. It reveals our guilt. Why do we go to the law? Because the law is what everything will be judged by on that last day. Even Jesus was judged by the law of God, which is quite an amazing fact. He was judged on the cross. The sins of others were destroyed on the cross. His wrath was taken away and satisfied on the cross through the law, through the just requirements of the law. When we see by the law, we see truly, and we see as God sees. So what does the law teach us? The law teaches us perfection. It teaches us our duty. It teaches us who we are. So the law shows us what perfection looks like. Because the law shows us the character of God himself. It reflects his character, which is perfection. When we go to the law, we see perfection. We see the imprint of God on the pages of Scripture, and the character of God is there. And what he therefore justly requires of every human being, not of just Christians. All men are required to keep that law, the law of God, summarized by Jesus as loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. If we fulfill these laws, then there are blessings, life itself that is promised. And if we break these laws, then there are curses, death itself and all its horrors promised. We hear the law every Sunday morning, do we not? And we accordingly confess our faults before the Lord every Lord's Day as well. But why do we hear the law each Lord's Day? Because it shows us the character of God. And it tells us his will for us. And it shows us how complete and entire the obedience we must give to God. Our obedience must not only be in our acts, but in our hearts, in our intentions, in our soul. As Jesus says about the law, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The perfect law is shown us that we might see ourselves rightly. We see ourselves in that law. The law shows us the just demands of God towards every human, not just every Christian. And that law shows us who we are. The law shows us that we are sinners, and what we deserve is wrath. How does it reveal who we are? A bit of an excursus here that I hope will be helpful in revealing just how far the depths of the law reaches in our own hearts. So how do we use the law? How do we use the law to reveal our own hearts? This is a bit of an excursus. The law shines a light upon us that we know, that we can see ourselves in all of our sinfulness. When we self-examine, we use the law to self-examine because it is perfect, we know, is the objective law of God. And David says that it is, as he summarizes in Psalm 119, 160, the sum of your word is truth. To examine ourselves truly, we must use the truth. And we cannot look at the law and say, well, God only really asks me for my best. One can only do his best. And when it comes to the law, and extenuate how much the Lord actually cares, how much his law is done. No, the law is perfect, and God requires absolute perfection. How might this self-examination, how might this looking at ourselves through the law be done? Well, more can be said about this, much, much more. But when we read any of the Ten Commandments where we see the law, we cannot let them be purely outward. So this is rule number one in reading the law. That is the inside-outside rule. Jesus said that not only the physical activity of murder is sinful and against the sixth commandment, but the mental and spiritual activity of hating your brother in your heart is a sin against the commandment. Every outward sin has an inward counterpart. And God cares about both the inward and the outward. That is the inward and outward rule. Now, rule number two, we ought to see that each commandment is not only a negative, that is, it doesn't only prevent us from doing something, most of them are negative, but it always points us to what we ought to do as well. Rule number two in reading the law is the negative-positive rule. That is, thou shalt not always has a thou shalt. Or the other way around, thou shalt always has a thou shalt not. So when God says, thou shalt not murder, he also commands, thou shalt promote, defend, and support life. That is rule number two in reading the law and seeing ourselves through the law, the negative-positive rule. After our hearts have been revealed by the law, we ask forgiveness of those things, which we see in 1 John 1:9. We see that we can and should ask forgiveness, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then this we do specifically with specific sins, without letting our circumstances let us off the hook, which is one of the worst things of today's morality, as if circumstances take all sin away. Circumstances do not take sin away. You may be poor, and yet stealing is still wrong. Circumstances do not take away. However, after examining our hearts and asking forgiveness for them to God, after examining ourselves through the law, have we finished after we pinpoint our sin? Do we simply try to do better after pinpointing the sin through the searchlight of that law? No, we second go to the cross of Christ. This is the second step in self-examination, in this simplified form of self-examination. Examine your heart by looking to the cross, which reveals grace. One of the greatest parts of self-examination is actually not looking at self, but to Christ. I know this sounds strange, but this is what Paul thinks as well, as we see in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? This is what they were to realize, to look to Christ. Yes, test yourselves, but what was the thing that they were to realize if they were to pass the test? That Jesus Christ is in you. Points us to Christ, self-examination does. This is how all of Scripture has looked at the satisfaction of sin and what sin is and what it does and where it points us ever since Genesis 3:15, looking to the Redeemer, the only Redeemer of God's elect, Jesus Christ. In the Old Covenant, we asked forgiveness, yes, but then we placed our hands upon a lamb, a substitute, and the wrath of God was satisfied by the killing of that animal. Today, in the New Covenant, we ask forgiveness and then place our sins at the foot of the cross, where Christ, our substitute, desires to receive them. The cross of Christ is the place where Christians go, because it was at the cross of Christ that perfect satisfaction was made for sin by one who perfectly fulfilled that same law. The cross of Christ is the place where Christians go during self-examination, because Christians who just examined their sins cannot possibly say before the cross of Christ, my sins are too great to be forgiven. How could we say this before Christ, who said of his work, it is finished? No sin is too great for a Christian to have forgiven before the cross of Christ. And the cross of Christ is the place where Christians go during self-examination, because before the cross, Christians cannot possibly say as well, my sins do not matter. When Christ Jesus, our Lord, hangs bleeding in the punishment of our sin, We cannot say sin does not matter. Christ paid the penalty that sin deserves. Your sin matters. Your sins are grave, and there was punishment for them. And the wages of your sin is death, even if it resulted in the death of Christ. We go to the cross and bring our individual sins to the Son of God, not because it's this action that causes our sins to be pardoned. It is not this action of going to the cross of Christ that causes our sins to be pardoned. No, if this is what we're doing, then we've lost what self-examination is. The whole reason we're self-examining in the first place, we're self-examining not to make ourselves loved by God. We're self-examining because we love God. And we are loved by God in the first place. We're self-examining to see if we're in the faith, that faith which Christ not only purchased on the cross, but purchased for us and applied to us by the Holy Spirit he sent for that purpose. We're self-examining to see the work of the Holy Spirit in us, which he sent in love for his church. Or as Paul says, that Jesus is in you, and he is in us for our good, because he loves us. We do not self-examine to make God love us. We self-examine to see God's love. This is incredibly important. It brings us to the third point, the third step. Self-examination is something that is done, thirdly, in gratitude. Because self-examination is a work done in faith that Christ has paid our guilt and has given us his grace. Step three is to examine your own conscience, which reveals our gratitude. Leaving our sins at the cross and seeing the pain of our Savior, we see sin for what it really is, a hateful thing of misery. And we see what we really are in Christ. As we see through the law and the cross, we are sinners, yet valuable, dignified, holy, and sons of the Most High. So why self-examine after all this? If we started self-examining because we expected that our hope for salvation lies somewhere in us or in the works that we do, then we've got self-examination all wrong. Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Self-examination is intended to get our eyes on ourselves, that they might go away from ourselves, that we might get our eyes off of ourselves. Self-examination, and we self-examine because it forces us to look at ourselves, yes, but only that we might look to Christ. We see our own weakness in the law, and we marvel at Christ's work for us on the cross and after. We look at our work and we mourn at what we have done, but rejoice at what Christ has done for us. We self-examine because we are grateful for God's work, who loves us, who accepts us for who we are, but we want to be like him. Don't you see the problem with most self-examination today? They look at themselves and then they stay looking at themselves. They don't go to the cross. They lay their ears upon their own breast and never take their hopes off of themselves and their own efforts. Your salvation does not depend upon your own efforts. No, just as we learned in 2 Peter recently, your salvation depends upon the calling and election of God. We self-examine to see if God's work is in us and be grateful to God when it is there, when we see it. But, and this is the final section of our examination, of self-examination. What does it mean when Paul says, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Can we fail this test? Non-Christians will not even take this test. So that you are doing this test is a good indication, but yes, we can look at our living. We can look at our work. We can look at ourselves. And if we've made no progress in our sanctification, or if we've intended to live a life of licentiousness, or a life that does not care what God says, and there is much to be repented of and much to worry about. John does not say for nothing in 1 John 2, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If we do not live a life which reflects that God himself is living within us, then we have reason to be fearful. But we ought also to listen to John when he says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. We cannot make a practice of sinning because Christ is in us. We will go from glory to glory in Christ. We may sin, and we will sin, but we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. We know that we will sin, but we do not make a practice of it. Sometimes sanctification takes time. It always takes time. The difference between us and the non-Christian is not only that we do not keep on sinning, but also that we repent of our sin, and God leads us into all righteousness. If we hate our sin and love righteousness and take our sins to the cross, then we will find mercy and eternal forgiveness and love there. So yes, we can fail this test. And sometimes our hearts condemn us, but take heart, Christian. If you have a tender heart to these things, do not worry. Christ is greater than your heart and will encourage us that we might see that we are in grace in our self-examination. John says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. But as we close, John strongly urges us to strive not for that place, where our hearts condemn us, but to live in grateful confidence in the finished work of Christ. The Christian life is not the life which limps from one opinion of yourself to the next. The Christian life is the life which listens to Christ, listens to the expert when he says to those who have faith in him, the Lord your God who goes with you is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. John goes on, from the heart which condemns itself to a heart of confidence. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Indeed, the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts to say, Abba, Father, showing us that we are sons of God. But let us live a life where our heart does not condemn us, that we might not fail in this test of self-examination. But let us know ourselves well through the law, that we are indeed guilty in ourselves. Daily repent and believe upon Christ, going to the cross for grace. And finally, living a life of gratitude, keeping his commandments, recognizing the work of grace within us. After examining ourselves, let us lift our eyes and our ears away from ourselves and listen to Christ, who loves us for who he created us to be. Even if we continue to sin, he will sanctify us and bring us to that great day of redemption. Let us hear from him what he has to say. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let us remember his promises. If we have faith in Christ, listen to him. He knows who you are, and the contrite heart he will not despise. May God continue to make us to hate sin and to love righteousness until he comes. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Until we in these imperfect bodies and world will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, in that great world of perfection. Let us go to our great God in prayer. Oh Lord, were we to keep our eyes upon ourselves, there would be everything to condemn us. Lord, we know that there is nothing that we can argue before your throne. There is nothing good within us, and yet you have given us grace. Lord, this great mystery of your love, this great mystery of how great your love that you sent your Son for us. Lord, we pray that as we know our sin, that we would confess it. And as we know your grace, that we would go to your cross. And as we know your love, that we would love and be grateful in return. Lord, we pray that as we self-examine, that we would do it correctly. Lord, that if we do indeed fail this test, Lord, if we do indeed not come to you, if, Lord, we seek to live a life that is licentious, a life where we are the ones who are in control, a life where you have no say and your law means nothing to us, a life without repentance, a life without faith in Christ. We pray, Lord, that these people, that they would have faith and believe in you. Lord, that these people would repent of their sin, and Lord, that they would return to you if they have wandered away, that they would see your promises. Lord, that they would be found in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your great work. Work within us, Lord. We need your work within our hearts. Bring us to that great day of redemption, Lord. We ask all this and pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.